So today is the first of a sermon series, four sermons. They're not actually all happening in a row. We're going to have a couple Sundays of other topics after this one, but then there will be three others. So the series comes from this book called Half Truths. For a long time, I've been wanting to preach a series on what I've always called Christian cliches, things that just kind of roll off the tongue, but do we really know where they come from or what they mean? And then I discovered this book by Adam Hamilton, and it's a great book. And so I read this summer, and it inspired me to have these sets of sermons this fall. So this this book is the inspiration and also where I'm drawing some of the insights for these sermons. So the four things that we are going to look at through September and October are: everything happens for a reason. That's one. Another one is God doesn't give us more than we can handle. That's another. Hate the sin and love the sinner. I know I've said that. And the last one is God helps those who help themselves. These are called half-truths because while none of these things are found in the Bible, there are verses from which these notions have grown, even as they have grown away from what the Bible says and away from the heart of who God is. And also, there may be partial truth in them, though I believe they are not, as standalone statements, true in and of themselves. And while we may be trying to be helpful when we say these, I think they can be, in some situations, the wrong thing to say. So it's good for us to look at these and to consider what we think we're saying, what we actually are saying, and then what else we might say. We need to consider whether we really believe what we are really saying when we say these. So the first one, everything happens for a reason. If by this we mean that actions have consequences, that our choices produce results, then it is a perfectly reasonable thing to say. For example, texting and driving may result in an accident. The reason the accident happened was because of the texting. Everything happens for a reason. The reason for the accident was the texting. However, I don't think we usually mean it that way. Usually, everything happens for a reason is said in response to suffering, seeking to console or comfort someone. Whatever happened must have been meant to be in some cosmic sense, or this must have been their time, or God's will, or God has a purpose for this, for allowing this suffering to happen. But all of these assume something. This assumes that everything that happens, everything reflects the will and purpose of God, that God is large and in charge of absolutely everything, which can lead to some silly conclusions. Honey, I'm sorry I forgot your birthday. It must have been God's will. Or obviously God favors the Patriots, except last Thursday when he preferred the Chiefs. Assuming that God is in charge of everything can also lead to some very troubling questions. Why would God will millions of Jews to die in the Holocaust? Does God really want children to die in a school shooting? Why is God sending all these hurricanes and fires? What on earth could be the reason for the horrible deaths on Common Street Friday night? Reason? Believing that everything happens for a reason does three things which are not helpful. It eliminates personal responsibility. It makes God responsible for everyone's actions, and it leads to a fatalism. Why should I wear a seatbelt? If it's my time to go, it's my time. It doesn't matter if I'm wearing the seatbelt or not. If I die in a car crash, it will have happened for a reason that my family will discover in time. Well, that mindset is called determinism. God determines everything, and we may not ever get to understand the purpose or the reasons. The opposite of determinism is called deism, D-E-I-S-M. And this is the belief that God made the world. He set everything in motion, laws of nature, laws of physics, laws of science, and then stepped back and is now completely hands off. He will now have nothing to do with anything that is happening in the world or in our lives. That's deism. Both of these extremes, that God intervenes and makes everything happen, and that God has absolutely nothing to do with anything that happens, both of these miss the mark, and I find are not helpful approaches to facing the really hard stuff of life, like the deaths of Friday night. Both determinism and deism deny what the Bible says about God giving humankind dominion over all the earth and all that God has made, in which we are given the responsibility to care for what God has made. We are stewards, and God has given us freedom, freedom to make choices for better or for worse. Just like in the parable in our reading from Matthew today, God is the owner and is sovereign, and we are the tenants farming God's earth, tending to God's creation and his people. The earth belongs to God, and we are free as stewards to make choices, and we are responsible for those choices. The idea of choice is important. In fact, the Bible, I think, is the recounting of God showing human beings the right path and warning against pursuing the wrong path, and then humans mostly choosing the wrong path. Like in Deuteronomy, the first reading, through Moses, God has led the children of Israel out of slavery in Egypt. And as they prepare to enter the promised land, Moses, now an old man and nearing death, has just recited the Ten Commandments and the rest of the law and is reminding them what God expects of his people. There are two paths into the promised land, Moses says. One leads to life and one leads to death. Obey and love God, he says, which also means loving all the people that are made in God's image and seeking to know and to do God's will in our world. Or we can live for ourselves without regard for God or anybody else. I don't believe that God dictates our every choice or that God ignores us. Instead, God gave us a brain and a heart, a conscience and his spirit, the Bible and the ability to interpret them as guides to help us on the right path. God does seek to influence us. God does work in us and through us. God did send Jesus to save us and deliver us. And God does, on some occasions, and for reasons we never fully understand, intervene in the world's affairs in miraculous ways. I remember a few years ago, I'd had an evening meeting here at church. I was packing up my stuff and I was ready to leave. I know it was after 9. I don't know if it was as late as 9:45, but everything had shut down. Everyone left. I had my big bag on my shoulder and my coat, and I was making my way right past Carol's desk, and the phone rang. Now, normally I wouldn't answer the phone ringing 9:15, 9:30, 9:45 at night to the church. So I kept going to the door, but something stopped me, and I turned around, I went back, and I picked up the phone, and it was one of you calling because something sad and hard and personal was happening, and you thought you were just going to leave a voicemail on the machine and I would get it the next day, but instead we got to speak right there in that moment. What a blessing that moment was for both of us. I don't believe everything happens for a reason. But sometimes we discover that there is a reason when we are attentive to God. I think God uses us and God works through us as we experience and respond to his nudging and his prompting. I experienced a God incident that night, answering the phone, as did the person making the call, and we both felt encouraged and strengthened and blessed. So, since God is neither the micromanager of determinism nor the absentee landlord of the deist, both of these are half-truths, the deeper truth must be somewhere in between. And the Bible verse that is the seed for believing everything happens for a reason is Romans 8:28. This, I trust, might sound familiar. The Apostle Paul says, "We know that God works all things together for good for those who love him and who are called according to his purpose." I'll say it again. We know that God works all things together for good for those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. It's close, but it's not everything happens for a reason. Here the apostle is not saying that whatever happens was a part of God's will and God's plan. Rather, he is saying that no matter what happens, however bad it may be, God will somehow bring good out of this situation for those who love him. And that's what I think we are saying when we say everything happens for a reason. But it's important to speak really clearly about this so that we don't accidentally say the wrong thing. God does not cause evil, but he can take evil and he can draw something good out of it. But it takes us putting on the eyes and ears of God to perceive it, and the mind and heart of God to receive it. When my dad was 57 years old, he went nearly deaf, completely deaf in one ear and mostly deaf in the other ear. He tried a variety of hearing aids, but still could not hear well enough to continue working, and so he retired early at the age of 59. Well, I had left home when my parents were 49, and so they'd had 10 years or so of an empty nest, during which they traveled and hiked and trekked and camped all over the world and sometimes at high altitude. Well, after my dad's hearing loss, he lost his balance as well, because, you know, the ears are the source of our balance center, so without his hearing, his balance was not good. And so they decided that after he retired, that they would travel as much as possible, sometimes taking up to 3 major trips a year. Well, then after 10 years of that, at the age of 69, he died suddenly of a rare disease. Now, in the weeks and months after he died, my mom kept saying how glad she was they had had those 10 years of these exciting adventures together. It's been 16 years since he died, and she still says that. Now, did God cause my dad's hearing loss at the age of 57 so that they could make traveling a priority, so that when he died at age 69, they'd have no regrets and a truckload of memories from my mom? I don't think so. Just because that's what happened does not mean that God orchestrated every detail of it, including my dad's hearing loss and his early death. I don't believe that God distributes disabilities and diseases. I don't believe that God sends hurricanes and wildfires. I don't believe that God causes people to commit murder. But even, and especially in all of these terrible occurrences, God is present. And when we lean on him and trust him, we make it through. So much of who we are is shaped by the most painful experiences of our lives and what God does with them in us. Because God can redeem in Jesus Christ any situation and every person. Nothing, not everything, happens for a reason. Sometimes things just happen. And sometimes horrible things happen. But we also know that horrible things will not have the last and final word. Ultimately, they become part of our journey that finally reaches its end in God's eternal kingdom. That's what Jesus' resurrection shows us. Death is not the end. Love outlasts everything. God does not cause tragedy. He uses it, and through it can show his love for those who suffer. When disaster strikes or the stresses pile up, what we need and what we need to offer others is compassion and the assurance of the Lord's presence and care. The danger in saying everything happens for a reason is that it minimizes the depth of the pain, implying that we should look on the bright side often before we're ready. Discovering a reason or purpose will only come in time, if at all. So when you find yourself about to say, oh, everything happens for a reason, either to someone else or to yourself, pause and ask, is this the right thing to say right now? Or is there something else that might communicate better the whole truth of God's love and presence? There are difficult days ahead, and these are the days which God sent Jesus to redeem. He is close. He has to be. Amen. I invite you to turn with me to the blue insert, which you'll find in your bulletins. For me, these words are a rock. These words remind me again sometimes what I can't believe on my own. They remind me of a truth that is outside of me that I know others believe. And so this is a truth upon which I can rely no matter what happens. So I invite you to rise and to join me as you are able. Christian, what do you believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.